So we came up with XR, which is, stands for the extended reality, not to be confused with MR, which is the mixed reality. So we are trying to split the world, which is non-existent, already in four different ways, AR, VR, MR, and XR, just to make it more complex.
I know.
We can talk about this in the panel. So,
okay, good. So there's a good reason to come to the panel, just to understand the naming mechanism and the definition of XR in the first place, right?
Peter Smolovich from Morgan Stanley. I am an executive director and leading Windows and .NET development practices at Morgan Stanley. Also, I am leading metaverse and spatial computing development practices.
Is everybody in? All right, cool. So, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Grizz Griswold, head of marketing for Finos. Hope you're doing well. And in this episode of the podcast, I sit down with Peter Smolovich of Morgan Stanley. Peter is an executive director for Morgan Stanley and heads up many, many things for them, as you heard in his introduction, but also for Finos as well. He is one of the lead maintainers on the Zenith project, which deals with emerging technologies, also works with open source readiness, among other projects that I think every time I talk to Peter, I find out something more that he does, and you'll see that in this podcast as well. Peter's going to be leading a group discussion on spatial computing at OSFF on November 1st. And so I talked to him about everything, probably other than spatial computing, but also his developer journey, how he got to Morgan Stanley from Hungary. And we go through Big Boost Mondays, Autism Hackathon, what he's doing with Zenith, what they're doing on the panel. We talk about the actual panelists and where they're coming from and why they were chosen to be on that panel as well. So we do a lot of forward looking in this, and we actually look at back to 1950s science fiction and 2000 IBM ads as well. But again, it's all in preparation for OSFF on November 1st in New York. By the way, we will be announcing keynotes very shortly, in a couple of weeks, I believe. So they may already be out by the time you listen to this, but stay tuned here. And we cannot do this conference without our sponsors. So we want to make sure that we send out a special thank you to our two leader sponsors, Databricks and Red Hat. And then the truth is, I actually have to go to the Open Source and Finance Forum website to see how many more sponsors we have, because they continue to grow. So we have Discover, FinOps Foundation, Major League Hacking, Open Mainframe Project, Adaptive/Aaron, EDB just joined. That is Enterprise Database Company. Fujitsu just joined. Gradle, Intercluster, Mend.io, OpenJS Foundation, OpenLogic by Perforce, Orcas, Percona just joined, Sonatype just joined, Tidelift as well. So I believe the time for sponsorships is running out very shortly. So if you're not already a sponsor of OSFF and you'd like to become one because you'd like to reach the 750 plus people that we have coming this year from all over financial services and technology, from managing directors to developers, we have business decision makers, we have developers on the ground. It's going to be a great time, so get in front of them. And if you can't get in front of them and you would just like to attend, do that as well. I believe that our regular pricing is ending in a couple of weeks. And like I said, we'll be highlighting some of the speakers and sponsors for the next couple of weeks. Sign up for a newsletter, sign up for information through finos.org. All right, you'll notice in this particular podcast, I think I was coughing up a storm a few times. So for anybody else who's been sick for, the past 3.5 weeks, I feel for you. I'm with you. This is already an interesting sick season. So Anyway, enough of me whining. We appreciate you joining us. Please enjoy this podcast with Peter Smolovics from Morgan Stanley. Thanks. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Chris Griswold of Finos. Hope you're doing well. Today, I have with me Peter Smolovics. I know I need to add a little bit more in Smolovics. No, that's how we start the podcast, folks. That's how we start the podcast. Peter, say hello. How are you?
Hi. Hi, everyone. I'm very well speaking to you.
Peter, will you actually say your last name for me? So that way, I'm going to mess it up again. Just
so it's an interesting story with this name. It's a name which is originally coming from Ukraine, but it's written with Hungarian characters. So no one in Ukraine can read it out loud because it's with Hungarian character. No one in Hungary can read it out because it's a Ukrainian name. So everybody is puzzled wherever you go to the world. And when you come to the United States, yeah, everybody's double puzzled with the name.
as I am. And also, I think, you know, when we had dinner a few... Oh, God, was that like a month or 20 months ago now? You told me that Hungarian, basically, you can have one word that has about 1,000 different letters in it. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so Hungarians likes to put together this small agglutinating piece of a word becoming sometimes two lines long words and crazy things. And you are able to express more or less a full sentence and intention and everything sometimes in one word.
That is awesome. All right. Well, Peter's from Morgan Stanley, and Peter has been involved in not only open source but also Finos for a long time, in many different areas. You know, Peter's going to be part of a panel at OSFF at the Open Source and Finance Forum November 1st on emerging technologies, and Peter's actually one of the leads on the Zenith, or Zenith, depending on which side of the pond you're on, SIG, or Special Interest Group, which is around emerging technologies. But the name of the panel is Emerging Technologies, the Spatial Computing Panel, and we'll go into that in a little bit. But, you know, I like to talk about the people that I'm talking to first. So you're Hungarian. We start there. Tell us about Peter. Tell us about... you know, kind of your journey to get to where you are now, not only, you know, at Morgan Stanley, through open source, through Finos. You know, there's so many places I know that we can go after, you know, after knowing you for a while. But let's start with, you know, how did you get here?
When we say here, we can speak about the physical location. I am living in New York in the last more than a decade.
Right.
I actually came here as an international transfer. As part of Morgan Stanley. So I was working for Morgan Stanley back in Hungary originally. I came here as a transfer. When we say here, I can talk about being an executive director at Morgan Stanley. I was actually hired to work on the Morgan Stanley standard UI container. Think about something equivalent of some of the FDC3 containers that now out there. I was actually hired to work on this container, but this role started to grow over the time, and now I am leading a much more bigger area with much more effect on a wider range, internally to the firm, externally to the firm as well. When it comes to, you asked about Hungary, so I speak a lot of languages. None of them I speak perfectly. I am one of those guys. When I was young, I spent a lot of time in Bulgaria. Later, my family members, because of many of their family members, I picked up German. Mm-hmm. Later in the school, I picked up Russian. Mm-hmm. And much later, I picked up English. So English is probably my last language I ever learned.
Gotcha.
Probably the least language I learned among them, but still, that's what the language I am doing most of my work with. Mm-hmm. You asked about open source. So open source touched me very, very early in that sense that back around 30 years ago when I started my IT career, open source was not the same as it is today, clearly not. But I was one of the lucky guys who actually got paid to work on open source.
Nice.
Very, very early. So around 2002, yeah, it was around 2002, I was asked to work on Hibernate, the ORM, Object Relationship Mapping system. I got a paid job to work on an open source project. Later on, I worked on Apache Velocity as well, which is a templating engine by Apache and so on, as part of the same job. But this was one of the first leeway of me not just using open source, rather seeing it the other side, and actually not just the nice side, I actually being one of the main maintainers of the project, I had to learn the bad side or the hard side or the dark side of open source very quickly, how people start demanding things, how things can go wrong. When you are doing an open source project, meaning you are spending your free time in a project. I mean, I was special because I got paid for it, but most of the people who worked on that project actually literally spend their free time working on it. And nice. It's, you know, it's sometimes heartbreaking that you are being pushed saying that, hey, why you are not doing this or that? So it was very, very interesting for me to look at this angle from the open source that very early. This continued. So over the years, I worked on many, many different open source projects, sometimes small PRs, sometimes even owning the whole thing. And actually, even before it was called Finos, the previous organization before Finos, I got very involved very early in it. And I actually created a lot of fun open source contribution to the platforms. At that time, I added a lot of accessibility-related features, for example, the tooling that were available before Finos. When it became Finos, I was one of the guys raising their hand very early saying, hey, this is good, this is nice, I want to have a role in it. I had different smaller roles helping out here and there, and then came the big breakthrough, at least for me, when I was asked to chair the open source readiness together with first James, then later with Rob. And this is when it became one of the major projects or spotlighted projects for by the board. I was actually both happy and it was like, oh, I guess that's what I'm going to do here. And but I think we managed to really change the world, and there's going to be a lot of fun announcement as part of OSFF 2023 New York around certifications and around training materials around OSR. So it's coming up. And this year, after working in this area of emerging technologies for many, many years, so while I was working at Microsoft for over a decade, I was focusing a lot on emerging technologies, on strange hardwares, strange softwares, things that were not part of the core business. So when at Morgan Stanley, the opportunity came up to work as part of innovation, to work on various fun projects, I again put up my hand saying, I want to work on fun innovation projects. Give me some. So I got involved there in some fun innovation projects. And based on my previous expertise, working on technologies like the Microsoft Surface Table, I'm not speaking about the laptop or book or anything. I'm speaking about a big physical table. Many people never saw that. If you go to Las Vegas, you can still find some of them in the casinos. It's a physical table. You can put objects on it, and you can order beer using it. It's a funny gadget.
It's useful.
I mean, you know, something you can order beer with it. It's a useful gadget. So you know, it's a useful gadget for many people. But later on, I got into more about this 3D position and everything, which was the precursor of what HoloLens later became, the Microsoft HoloLens. So when Morgan Stanley asked, okay, and which part of innovation technologies I am interested in, I put up my hand and said, I'm interested in spatial computing and the metaverse, because that's where I have some previous expertise and interest. So that's what I would like to continue. So back in 2016, I created the Morgan Stanley Spatial Computing and Metaverse Development Practices Group, which did a lot of fun projects. And when the beginning of this year, a few of us started talking about how hard it was to start such an emerging technology at a bank, we said, okay, Phinos might be able to help in this. So that's where the whole idea of Zenith or Zenith, based on, again, which side of the pond you are at. We didn't deliberately pick the name like that, but we figured out it's a fun name this way. We picked emerging technologies as our topic. We picked 18 different emerging technologies. We have everything from 4D printing to biotechnology and neural implants and everything to look into on how these, through the open source, of course, can be used for financial technologies. Three of these tech has been picked for us by the Zenith team members. And the members who were joining our calls as our target at the beginning of these three has been, one of them is AIML. I don't think it's a big surprise. That's a very hot topic today. But the other two topics are still hot, but not really yet have been applied for finance yet, which are spatial computing and quantum computing. So these are the three topics we started our journey in Zenith, and we have been doing primary papers and brain trust member gathering and so on for Zenith in the last few months, and we continue doing that. And as part of it, I will do a small panel discussion at OSFF talking about how XR in finance can be applied and how it actually works. And I try to bring together a colorful team of speakers. So beside myself, who I will be the just the moderator, I actually have people from various sides of not just the pond, but various sides of the whether they are at all in finance, or whether they are in a different kind of company, or whether they're buy side, sell side, and so on. So without further ado, on the panel, I will have Mike Potts, who is coming from a company called Polycount. They are an XR designer company. They have designed spaces for companies like McDonald's and Sotheby's and Hugo Boss and these kind of companies. So it's well-known names. They have been created and they are doing that. So they are an...
Can you kind of go back and explain what XR is, just in case we have people that don't know?
I jumped a big hurdle though, not explaining. So it's a very interesting question you just asked. Originally, this whole area, which is today probably called spatial computing, used to be called the metaverse. When the company Facebook changed its name to Meta. A lot of people try to avoid this name, so new words had to be designed or created. We already have AR and VR for augmented reality and virtual reality. So we came up with XR, which stands for the extended reality, not to be confused with MR, which is the mixed reality. So we are trying to split the word, which is non-existent already in four different ways: AR, VR, MR, and XR, just to make it more complex.
Okay.
I know. We can talk about this in the panel. So,
okay. Good. So there's a good reason to come to the panel, just to understand the naming mechanism and the definition of XR in the first place, right? One.
Actually, each of the team members I know very well, and each of the team members I already have had discussions about how would they define the word metaverse. And from the five members, I got five totally different definitions. I said, okay, this is going to be a good discussion.
Yes, for sure. So. All right, next, who else is on the panel?
Yeah, we have Royal O'Brien. He used to lead the Linux Foundation's game area or gaming area. Now he is actually the CTO for Hadean, which is a company focusing on extended reality experiences. But he is also the head of the Open Metaverse Foundation, which is a foundation trying to bring standardization, open source standardization in this area. I won't go into details here, but this metaverse space, as it is today, we have competing standards and each of them is proprietary.
Right.
the Open Metaverse Foundation, Royal himself, they are trying to work on having open source standards that are used by multiple companies. So you are able to create a model with one company and use it in another company's software, because today this is not possible.
Interesting.
Each of the formats. But so that's the interesting discussion. Next, we have Domhnall Hernon. He is the global head of the Metaverse Lab at EY. They have been working with a lot of the members of Finos, many of the financial company members, to create sometimes open source, sometimes non-open source technology-based experiences for the Metaverse. So he is able to provide that expertise or that view that he has been working with many of the companies creating these experiences, because many of the companies don't currently yet have an in-house experience or in-house development team for creating the experiences. So they are working with companies like EY to create the experiences.
Cool.
Next one, we have Brooke Tuskai. She's coming from Vanguard, the company. And she is actually able to provide a very different experience or very different view than the others. She is actually coming from the business side, and she has been looking after. So she has been focusing on client-facing roles a lot, working with the business and understanding how high net worth people would like to have their work done. You know. But now she is actually working on innovation and emerging technologies and how these innovation and emerging technologies will help these clients. So it's actually a very, very different role than any of the people so far I mentioned. And lastly, but definitely not leastly, we do have Bree Scully, who is joining us as an XR innovation futurist, which is a very exciting sounding role. And she will share a lot of the interesting things that she can tell about a lot of the spatial experiences she has been participated in creating, and a lot of the hardness, how it is to cross the last mile here. And I already talked about it in my blog one day. I call it the ridiculousness factor. You know, I actually have multiple headsets just next to me. But if I would have come to this meeting wearing one of my headsets, you would have smiled. If I would have been the CEO of a company, the CEO of the company don't want people to smile at him when he's showing up to a meeting in a headset. This kind of ridiculousness factor is something that we have to solve. And what is interesting, this is not the first time we have to solve it. I think everyone remembers when having a mobile phone and walking with a mobile phone on the street, you looked very strange, you know? Yes, it was a big thing. It was like a big thing.
The back phone.
Yeah, the back phone and everything. But you also look like you might be the thug or something, you know? Not everybody had a phone, and definitely you didn't run around on the street. Today, if you don't go the street like this, then people start to look at you strange.
Yes. I last night we were having dinner with my son on university campus, and I saw a woman stop on a park bench, open up her backpack, and her phone was in her backpack. She looked at it, and then she put it back into the backpack, and then closed up the backpack and walked away. And yes, to me, I was like, she's not walking with her phone. It was inside her backpack. That is actually not common anymore. You're right. It was a back phone.
So I think we are at the same point with these headsets. Right now, if I would wear a headset on the street, probably people wouldn't call me on the police on me, but definitely they would look strange at me.
Yeah.
Who knows, 10 years from now, 15 years, maybe 20 years. I mean, for the mobile phone, the first mobile phones that were really usable were introduced around 93, the first time people were running around with phones like normal was around 2006-ish, probably. Sure.
Yeah.
So it took somewhere between 12 to 15 years before it became mainstream. I think this is the same topic we have with these headsets. The first really usable headsets from some of the bigger companies like Apple, Meta, HTC, Microsoft, and so on. The first, which are really for the masses, are coming out nowish, this yeah. year and the next year. It has been a breakthrough. We went from, there were around 20 companies doing these headsets. Now we are over 120 companies doing yep. headsets. So it has the, it's a boom.
Yep.
Of how do, many do companies you,
are. Do you know who had the one of the first ones, though?
One of the first ones.
Hold on. No, actually, I'm leading you down this path. I'm sorry. It's kind of a trick. So
the first headset was called Sword of Damocles, the one uh-huh. I know.
Okay.
And it's from the 1960s.
Okay.
It was called what?
Oh. It was called what?
I lost you for a second.
Yes.
So the first headset was from the 1960s. It was called Sword of Damocles. The reason why people called it, most of the device was actually built into the ceiling and you just pull down a piece, put it in front right. of your head, and people are afraid it will fall on your head. Hence the name Sword of Damocles.
Ah, yes.
If you get the joke here. So, yep. So it started in the 1960s, and compared to that, when the whole system was nearly a room size that you had to stand inside, to the fact that now we have headsets which are not really different than a sunglass. So yep. I actually have some devices from particular companies which look, or actually I can go with those, I can go to the street and it will look like just a sunglass, but I do see the additional information on the screen. So it yep. has this feature. Okay. So
I think at our hackathon, we actually had somebody that was demonstrating one of those. The hackathon that was in New York in May, one of the teams actually had sunglasses or something that was more along those lines. And they were, I still wasn't quite sure what the financial aspect was yet, but but they were using it to solve a problem in spatial reality, I guess. But the one that I remember though is I think it's in the States. I want to say it was 2002. There was an IBM ad, and it's a guy, I think it's in Trafalgar Square, and he's got this little headset on, and it kind of looks like the old Google Glass, but he's got a headset on, and all the birds are around him, and all of a sudden you hear him going, "Bah! Buy, sell, and like all the birds are flying around and everything, and you're looking and going, who is this crazy person? Because this is really even before, like you said, you know, people walking around with flip phones and everything, and he's like doing all his financial transactions by reading it on a screen in front of him and being able to talk. I mean, I just think about like now, like, you know, how far we have, and how, you know, it's kind of like science fiction, like. How far have we gotten from like the 1950s and 60s of the original, you know, some of the original, well, I guess before that, science fiction, to where, you know, like now a lot of those things are realities. I mean, just like, you know, Star Trek in a flip phone, you know, that was your communicator, that, you know, Spock out. So anyway, so. Yeah,
I mean, I love you brought up the Star Trek reference. I always bring it up when I'm speaking about this tech, because if I look at other stuff like the iPad, this mm-hmm. whole idea that you have something flat that you can, it was first in Star Trek. People were running around with these things and making notes on it and bringing up stuff on it. I mean, it's coming from that. The same way you mentioned the whole communicator and the flipping out, and then actually the feeling that you could just touch it and it's kind of like the Bluetooth and everything. So, you know, these kind of things just make sense and everything. And they have the holo thing in Star Trek. You know, they can go into the room, press a button.
Oh, holodeck.
So what's funny with these headsets?
The transporter room, holodeck, two different. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
This holodeck thing very slowly, but it's getting there. We have now the first solutions where it's able to use physical haptic feedback on you and pushing you back, and you are able to touch something physically and feel it and everything. So we have the first few solutions for this, and so I think one day we will have the holodeck experience. Not yet. We don't have it yet.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Yeah. So what we're going to have to do, right, is we're going to have you come back on with some of the Zenith folks, or Zenith folks, and talk about some of the different technologies that you folks are seeing and that you're working on, especially AIML, quantum computing, which I'd really love a primer on. And what was the other focus? The third
spatial
focus?
Computing, of spatial, course.
Yeah, exactly.
I read it. So it's spatial computing.
So we will do that. I also, you know, I wanted to say too that, you know, and you know, part of your open source experience and also part of your human experience is something that this was the first time that I heard about you. Ooh, was this 2020, 2021, I believe, when you're first starting to do your hackathon?
Yeah, so I have been running a hackathon called the Autism Hackathon, or full name, the FSI, the financial company Autism Hackathon. It's been running for 6 years now, and now we have hundreds of people joining it. So it actually came from a small idea. We were actually out painting fences, literally, as part of a volunteering effort. And while I was painting the fences, I was like, I'm an IT guy. If I would put my volunteering effort into something where I can use my IT skills, probably that would be a better use of my time, in the sense that I am not very good in painting fences. So I actually... sit down with a guy from Microsoft, and we started discussing, and he was complaining that he has a son who has autism, and the software and hardware that he has access to is unusable and not 21st century. And I looked at this guy, it's like, okay, you have a problem, I have a problem, two problems makes a solution.
Right.
So the first hackathon was done after this first discussion. The first hackathon was done in like 2 months. We had 20 people, and it was a huge success, in the sense that we, even in those 2 days that we spent with it, we actually managed to move the needle. You know, we managed to provide usable feedback. And later on, more and more companies joined. Now we have more than 20 companies joining each year, and we have... financial institutions, we have universities joining, and so on. So it became a huge event by now. And of course, it's going to happen in 2024 too. We already have the timing, we already have the topics and everything, we already have the website up. So people can or should start looking into joining it for 2024 again.
Cool.
So it's very close to my heart to being able to do this kind of social impact and finding this cause, which is one of those invisible disability. You know, you are very easily say that, okay, I need to have a software being able to support the blind or the deaf. Then you are like, okay, how do I support someone who has autism? What do I have to do? And, you know, it starts from this question, answering this question, then finding solutions. And then as part of this hackathon, actually many things come together. We, for example, have metaverse, spatial computing related hacks in the metaverse for people who are having autism, which is a very interesting approach. But also we have everything from machine learning and artificial intelligence and speech generation and everything. So it's a lot of different aspects we are looking into as part of the hackathon. Thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, no, and I don't think I've ever told you, but my cousin, two of her sons actually have autism, and she actually quit her, she was in the film industry making costumes, and when she was trying to figure out how to help her sons the best way, she actually quit what she was doing there, which she really enjoyed, and she became, I think at the time it would be called a special needs teacher, but she was focusing on how to work with kids with autism, and how to continually find new technology actually that they could use in order to learn better with, you know, that worked with them as opposed to against them. So near to my heart as well, with my cousins, but, anyway, so I think we'll make sure that, if there's a link that you can send me, then, sure. We will put that in the show notes as well. And then, you know, probably to wrap things up, you know, I feel like you're throwing more energy into something new that may be coming around if everything comes off the ground, but this is the reason for putting it out there. You know, that may happen the week of OSFF, in New York. I'm just going to put that there. But
I always had a big envy for all the people who going to Big Boost in the UK. It's an amazing effort and it's an amazing approach to helping people. In case you're not aware, Big Boost is not only for FinoSign members, definitely right. Not, and it's not for financial companies only, the other side. It is helping people, connecting people, giving them a round to discuss many DEI-related discussions. So I figured this envy of mine better to be turned into something in effect or something that would happen. So I am right now in heavy planning for doing Big Boost in North America. Actually, we are looking into trying to kick it off in Montreal and in New York, somewhere around the OSFF.
Right. And if you don't know, Big Boost, they've been called Big Boost Mondays in the UK. They've happened in first in London, and then we've also done them, I believe, I want to say Dublin. I'm going to say in Ireland.
Yes.
Not Northern Ireland, but in Ireland. And we've had community members that have stepped up, not only from our financial institutions and some of our vendors, but also just, you know, peer community members like Mike Wilson from Zingli, who, you know, has really stepped up and you know, tried to elevate this platform so that it's something that happens on a monthly basis in the UK, different locations in order to, you know, address.
Mike, if you are listening to this, you are the heart and the fire of Big Boost. Yep,
yes, for sure. And if you just look on LinkedIn for Mike Wilson Zingli, Zngly, I think he does 20 videos a day. Yeah, but some, you know, some of them are definitely positioned, you know, for Big Boost Mondays, and it is a way for, like you said, for addressing DEI issues that you know, let's be frank, in financial services, that, you know, underrepresented minorities in financial services and in IT. And so, you know, this is one way that the FinOS community has been coming together in order to figure out how to, you know, solve this problem. And it's obviously, you know, taking a long time and going to take a long time. We hope not on that second part, but it's something that, you know, you can get involved with. And, you know, if you're, you know, at one of our member organizations, if you're not at one of our member organizations and you want to get involved in, you know, helping grow the community and talent pools for people that, you know, really want to get into IT, want to get into financial services, and, you know, maybe part of, as you say, that it's not just underrepresented minorities, but sometimes it's disabilities, sometimes it's hidden disabilities. Yeah. It spans many, many areas, and that's part of what Big Boost Mondays are for. And so, you know, I'm glad you're getting involved, because what I've definitely seen with the Autism Hackathon is that when you get involved with something, or with the Zenith SIG, or with the OSR SIG, that, you know, mountains start to move. So we appreciate that. And
I'm pushing my mountains.
Exactly. So,
actually, if you haven't ever seen my blog's tagline is moving mountains.
Oh, see? There we go. So that was perfect. So help Peter move mountains, and you know, and help the team, Elspeth Minty and other folks that have, you know, started to come together on this. So let's try to hit all the places. If you want to get involved with the Autism Hackathon, where should they go?
They should go to the FSI Autism Hackathon website. Actually, if you Google or Bing this FSI Autism Hackathon, it will give you one hit. That's the actual website, so that's easy to find. We don't have yet a big boost North America website yet. Right. Probably going to live somewhere under either the Tech Gateway or under some similar place.
Right. If you're interested, can always do help at finos.org if you want to get involved, and then we can push you to the correct people.
If you haven't signed up yet for OSSF 2023, I will be there reading this panel, but also I will be serving in the booth for both Zenith and the OSR, and there's going to be a lot of other booth sessions. Please join. If you are a Finos members, you most likely have free tickets. If you are not, you can sign up on the website or OSFF. What did we miss?
How to get involved with the Zenith SIG, and how to get involved with OSR SIG.
So go to the relevant website, osr.finos.org or zenith.finos.org. Read the materials there. There are ways on each site to join the relevant mail groups. It's just sending an empty mail to osr+subscription@finos.org or zenith+subscription@list.finos.org. It has a different domain name. Just drop an empty email there and you would be subscribed to the relevant mailing list. So it's very easy to subscribe to each of them. And we have a lot of information on both of the websites, on the meeting minutes and other information. Yeah, we try to publish everything that we can.
Yep. So I don't even want to ask what else you're doing, because if you're also painting fences and everything, we can only hit so many topics at one time. But let's do this again.
You mentioned painting fences. There is this joke about nobody ever asked Picasso how many square meters of paintings he does in a day. So it's the same topic. You are not asking someone how many things they are doing in a day.
Hello. This is fair. All right, Peter. Well, thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And we literally went all over the verse for sure. So we'll do it again. We'll do it again with other people talking about Zenith and maybe something on OSR and then all the other things as well. So make sure that you join Peter, like he said. I mean, I didn't even have to say anything, Peter, but make sure you join Peter for his panel and the other folks too with Emerging Technologies, the Spatial Computing panel. And that is November 1st at 4:15 p.m. in New York as part of OSFF. So thank you again, Peter. And with that, I'm going to say good day, good night, wherever you are.
Thank you.